So let's delete that previous section. I think there's some comment is needed on what was going on in terms of publication during the 1990s, as it were, because although I talked at great length about what was in my notebooks, gene construct, I haven't said much about what came out of all this. And so it's perhaps worth going back a little bit and seeing the what was happening. The first experiments related to blood pressure began essentially in hold a moment. The publications were beginning in the around about 1995. Masaki, Ito, various other people, with Tom Kopman at the end, started with a paper. We started with a paper on the regulation of blood pressure by AT1A receptor for angiotensin 2, and then Kim, Hyung-suk Kim. Talked about the published the genetic control of blood pressure and the angiotensinogen locus, but one of the more important papers, I think. Craigie in 1995 described his the computerized tail cuff system for measuring blood pressure, which I've referred to. In 1995, looked at the effect of the changes in the angiotensinogen converting enzyme, or knocking out the angiotensinogen converting enzyme, and showing that heterozygotes and homozygotes, that the heterozygotes didn't have much change in blood pressure. Simon John in 1995 looked at the atrial natriuretic peptide changes and so on. Ed Sheasley was the senior author on the paper in 1996 on the effect of blood pressure on blood pressure of mice lacking endothelial nitric oxide synthase. Simon John in 1996 was publishing on blood pressure and fluid electrolyte balance in mice with reduced or absence in the atrial natriuretic peptide. And natriuretic peptide receptor in 1997 with Paul Oliver as the senior author and Nabuyo as the with Paul Oliver as the leading author and Nabuyo Maeda as the senior author mouse lacking natriuretic peptide receptor A cardiac hypertrophy sudden death. Role of the angiotensin 2 angiotensin 1A receptor and 1B receptor in 1997, which Tom Kaufman was the senior author. And the work which was quite seminal in the angiotensin converting enzyme gene mutations, blood pressure and cardiovascular homeostasis in 1997. And then changes then going to estrogen receptor and so on. So there were a number of papers being published in that time. This is a book, capital J prime, beginning June 15th 1999 and going up to June 11th of 2000. So we're still trying to get to the CRLR construct for the mouse, extending the sequence of CLR MUS on Wednesday, June 16th, and making some new primers, and then continuing with the construct. Still modifying the Duc-Del plasmid, removing one of the ASCII-1 sites on Tuesday, June 22nd, page 7. Continuing the same work, June 23rd, and on OS and Roger Williams with his 74th birthday, Wednesday, June 23rd, 1999. Continuing with the modification of Duc-Del, single ASC, one site, page 19, Monday, June 28th. using the Duc-Del now and inserting into class site. 3' homology being inserted in on Tuesday, June 29, page 21, that is. On page 25, Tuesday, June 29th, I'm now talking about natriuretic peptide receptor C, the so-called clearance receptor. Since we failed to generate an NPRC duplication, Nabuyo suggested moving the intercellular domain, etc., etc. Some make an idea for the next project. Various modifications of Dukedelt still being sequenced on page 27, Friday, July 2nd, and going on with CRLR 3' homology insert on page 29, Friday, July 2nd. Straightforward plasmid constructions again. Now putting in, or attempting to put in, the 5' homology assembly, Saturday, July 3rd, inserting into a CLA site the fragment needed. kilobase fragment insert. Making plasmids. Wednesday, July 7th, page 37, rather satisfactory day. Conclusion good, the deduction was correct. Clone 11 as one orientation and clone 14 as the other construct. Correct sequences. Getting ready for the final assembly. On page 39, the first try of the final assembly of the targeting construct on page 41, the diagram of what it's going to look like. Of a control construct on page 43. That's good. Yeah, we're not here. Oh, we're just sitting. And continuing and thereafter. So, leading on page 49, Saturday, July 7th, a final sequencing check on T19. Looking at the CRL rat sequence compared with the CRL MOS sequence again, and various comments on what might be found and what sequences were obtained. looking to be a sequence where exons 1, 2, and 3 are used as the left-hand homologous sequence, and then a deletion and jumping to exon 5 with a chain terminator and nail. So are going to delete the essentially delete everything after or delete a section of exons 4 and 5 basically with some homology after the nail gene. That's a straightforward deletion. Various experiments to confirm the correctness of the constructs. Following pages. With primers for the control on page 55, Tuesday, July 20th, and Thursday, July 22nd, checking all the critical regions by sequence comparisons with Kathleen. Only surprise was that I had forgotten that my exon 1 is equivalent to mRNA exon 1, but my exon 2 is probably really exon 3, since exon 3 is not in the sequence. A little bit obscure, but something odd, but not apparently important. More computer modeling. Again, with Nobuyuki Takahashi, trying to get some modeling of the tall ascending limb cells. Thinking about surrogate markers for hypertension and hypertrophy on Sunday, August 1st, page 59. Thinking about several peptides or peptide hormones as surrogates for blood pressure. But the difficulty is the low concentration of many of them and limited availability of plasma and the laborious assays. Not very promising. Going back to thinking about targeting efficiency, on Monday, August 9th, page 61. Reviewing the literature for my hemoglobin grant renewal, revealed a paper claiming the gene targeting is really closer to 10 to the minus 1 than the usual estimate of 10 to minus 5. But looking at it, there didn't seem to be anything very different between their protocol and ours. But a procedure to try to vary the voltage used in electroporation. Be listed on the insert pages. Compare this person that it, whose paper we were looking at. Let's just see what it is. The paper was by Templeton, Roberts and Safer, Efficient Gene Targeting in Mouse Embryonic Stem Cell. And so we looked at our method and compared it to his method. Not very much different. But we continue to think about it. Monday, August 9th, we can adapt his protocol to the G418 and gang cyclovir method. Page 63, Monday, August 9th, to compare the two methods. Thinking about insulators. On Friday, August 27th, page 65, to test the proliferative advantage concept in the beta globin region, I propose to surround the transgene with silencers described by Gary Felsenfeld et al. And receive the plasmid today. And Sago has to start that will grow it up. Continuing work on the CRLR exon 4 deletion in the targeting vector, page 67, Tuesday, August 31st. More thoughts about modeling, Sunday, September 19. Trying different models, computer simulation with the stellar modeling. More on insulators. Somewhere around about September 25th, page 73. So that's September 25th, and the next entry is Friday, October 29th, with grants completed nearly 3 months. In doing them, and seven and sent off before the deadline. So thinking about antibody staining of red blood cells, the idea being to be able to determine a small number of normal cells amongst a large number of sickle cell containing sickle cell hemoglobin containing cell, or vice versa. With an anti-beta A and an anti-beta S antibodies. And this, I remember spending quite a lot of time on trying to make these work and trying to make the red cells so they wouldn't lyse under various conditions and making them into cross-linked, and as I call them, hard balls. So Saturday, October 30th, page 77, is hard balls again. And the antibody staining of hemoglobin has three phases: cross-linking, permeabilization, and antibody staining, as I was trying to make it work. Wednesday, December 15th, a little note, page 79, I had to quit the grants, etc., for experimental therapy, meaning I had to do an experiment. I was fed up of writing grants. And so I did an experiment with respect to PMP8 nail, which has the following structure, and modify it to change the structure of this construct. The modification continued Friday, December 17th, page 83. And 85, a fresh start. Still more, December 19th, and so on. Here is the construct related to the having the insulators and making a site between two copies of insulators in which to insert the thing that needed to be protected by insulators. Now another digression or progression, whichever one wants to call it, on Monday, December 20th, page 91, now thinking about silencers. A nice way to put two silencers into PSKB1 is to use X-bar knocked out with a BAM, changed to a BAM linker, etc., and it should be fairly easy. There is the beginning of experiments on PSKB1 deleting the silencers, linker insertions, etc., making the construct. Still working on Christmas Day, Saturday, December 25th, page 99. Plasmid construction. Here, Tuesday, December 28th, I'm working, and the next entry is Sunday, January 16th, and what happened in between is quite entertaining, because it says at the top of page 105, Millennium 2000, celebrated in London on Greenwich Meridian. I went to London with Nabuyo and our friends Marshall Edgell and Cora Jean Edgell, and my brother was fanatic about time and place, had us stand with 1 foot on one side of the Greenwich Meridian and 1 foot on the other side of the Greenwich Meridian, near the place where the ball really falls, so that we were on in two centuries at the same time when 2000 came along. We had a very entertaining time and a happy visit. Back to sequencing again, insertion of insulators, page 111, January 27th, continued, page 113, restarting insulator insertions again because it didn't work. Insulator insertion, page 117. Silencer dimer insertion, page 119. On and on. Dimer sequencing, page 121. A possible hematopoietic stem cell targeting scheme was talked about on page 123, Tuesday, February 29th. I've suggested in my hemoglobin gland renewal using the truncated EPOR1 receptor as a surface antigen to select immunologically for for hematopoietic stem cells that have the receptor and some various complications of this thought being talked about on page 123. On 125, I'm now happy. My grandson review is off and I'm back to TNAP C-kit with a clear statement of what that was all about. Tissue non-specific alkaline phosphatase, TNAP, replacement with C-kit, the receptor for stem cell factors. So replacing the alkaline phosphatase. The background TNAP has been known for many years to be a marker for cells that eventually become germ cells. My thought was, since heterozygotes for TNAP gene disruption are essentially normal, I can replace the TNAP coding region with C-kit so that the receptor would be made earlier in development than usual and might enable ES cells with this TNAP C-kit to out-compete white-type cells in populating the gonads. So this is a clear statement of what all those experiments with TNAP C-kit were about. It's quite a good summary and easy to understand even at this time, and with the targeting plasmid being very carefully documented and shown. So page 124 is a good page in the book, Tuesday, April 18th. A little internal review, as it were, Monday, April 24th, page 127, on the failure to get recombinance in C57 Black 6 ES cell line. They were difficult to get recombination with C57 Black with B6 ES cell lines at that time. Hyung-suk Kim had succeeded in getting gene disruption duplication C57 black cell line from Switzerland, but it was unstable. It had an unstable karyotype and never went germline. And Tomoko Hatada has had no success with Thor number 2, etc. So here's some discussion about why it isn't working and what we might do about it to make B6 work. Subsequently, of course, people found out how to do it, and it's not uncommon. Though strain 129 was always better. I'm trying to think about isolating stem cells, hematopoietic stem cell, on Friday, April 28th, page 129. And this was experiment that Sego Hatada was doing. He was trying to target hematopoietic stem cells and in such a way that either they would grow better or poorer. UCLA, of course, to get recombination in these cells so that we could hope to correct a hemoglobin mutation. But working with the HPRT gene as a model. PMP8 nail and the HVRT locus. As if somebody was thinking about a patent here, but I don't remember who, because on the opposite page is the construct for generation of a single copy transgene of the truncated EPO1 gene, EPO, a truncated EPO receptor. At the HPRT locus, from the paper eventually that with that was published with Susan Kirby's work with the EPOR1 truncated EPOR1 receptor in the HPRT locus, but there's some thought of a patent here because it says. A printed version here saying this invention provides a general method for isolating hematopoietic stem cells or other cells in which a faulty mutant gene has been corrected by homologous recombination. Preamble, it's generally accepted that the direct correction of a faulty gene, such as mutant form of beta globin gene, which causes sickle cell anemia, would provide an extremely useful means of treating this and other genetic diseases. So it's just, as it were, trying to think about writing a patent related to the old idea, a bit long since passed, of correcting genes. But anyway, it talks about the patent that we are going to make, targeting faulty gene upstream sequences. It never came to anything. It never did apply for a patent. Anyway, it was too late. So, still, the T-truncated EPOR receptor work was nonetheless useful, at least valuable in thinking about, so page 131, Friday, May 12th, considering making a T-EPOR receptor without the poly-A sequence. Suzanne Kirby started with mouse cDNA plasmid and excised the coding region, etc., and recloned. And so this is talking about the truncated EPOR1 receptor. So Saturday, May 27th, page 141, going back to the T-EPOR construct, but with a little note, returned from a West Coast trip with Field Murray the fourth time, and with George Bando Dow the third time with him. Two of my flying friends, Field being my instructor, and George, my flying friend of many years, still do things together. So it must have been maybe 5 or 6 times we've had trips of one sort or another. So back to the T.A.P.O.R. construct, Saturday, May 27, page 141. How to proceed and some sequences. A rather complicated name for a plasmid that was on Monday, May 29th, Bactin EPOR sequence. This has assembled the 8.1 kilobase B101 sequence. This is beta actin driven T EPOR, Bactin EPOR sequence. And a diagram of what it would look like on page 142. So 5' beta actin gene with its promoter, and then beta actin, then exon 1 and intron 1 from beta actin, and then a fusion to T EPOR plasmid coding region, so that we get a methionine start, etc. PSKB1. I suppose that's probably plasmid Susan Kirby, a B1 plasmid. Bactin EPOR, changing sites, page 145 and 147.
There's something which overlaps. Those big group that did a competition. Chondrogenic cell.
Listen to where we were.